Hey everyone!
It's the Lucas and Lee
podcast.
There we go.
And it's the Labor Day edition.
Yes, the Labor Day edition. It's a wonderful Labor Day, and you're wearing your Florida gear, and I bet you're so glad you are a Florida fan and not a Notre Dame fan. I know you still have love for Notre Dame.
I still have love for Notre Dame,
but that was a rough loss.
My Gators, big opening dub.
Yeah. But Florida State also had a big opening. Does that bother you?
No, because they beat Alabama. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Well, who do you hate more, Florida State or Alabama?
Ooh,
Alabama's in your conference.
I hate Bama more. Yeah. I really do. And even more than those two, the University of Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Zero love for the University of Georgia. Yes. Zero. 100%.
Do you know why all the trees in Alabama side to the east?
I don't know why.
Because Georgia sucks.
But I'm excited. Obviously, I'm decked out in my fave. I've had this shirt for 3 years. It's for those of you who are listening, it's my very Florida orange Gainesville with the Gator head mascot.
Yeah, a nice hat, too.
I am my Florida Gator hat.
School champs.
I fly back Friday.
And you're going to the game Saturday?
Going to the game Saturday.
And who do you guys have on Saturday?
We've got University of South Florida, who beat Boise State.
They destroyed Boise State.
So I think it's going to be a top 25 matchup.
That's a good
I'm
matchup.
Are you very excited? No, I'm not nervous. It's in the swamp.
Okay. Yeah.
It's in the swamp. Yeah, come on. USF will know their place as Florida's little brother.
Yeah.
So, hey, we've got a packed...
Packed show.
Woo! But we got to start off. Viewer requests. Listener requests. You know what the big news last week was?
The Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce engagement.
That's all anyone was talking about.
For like a week.
It is the probably the only podcast out there that beats ours as far as listenership. By a few million.
Only a few million.
But, you know, I know it's easy to bag. It's easy to bag on this engagement. It really is. World's biggest pop star, NFL star, two beautiful people. It's easy for you and I to bag on it. But you know what? I am happy and excited for those two.
Well, I think it's actually pretty cool that Travis Kelce, who is a frat boy. He's literally a frat
boy. Yeah, he is. He's a frat boy.
Is the best relationship she's ever had.
Well, and you know,
he used to do keg stands at in Ohio when he was in high school, and at the University of Cincinnati, they weren't going to recruit him because he was such a knucklehead. And he was the guy at the party that took the beer can and went.
He actually got booted off the team at the University of Cincinnati, and his brother had to beg the coach to give him a second chance. But I'm going to give it up to Taylor Swift because I feel one with Taylor Swift on this one. How many bad, horrible relationships that were not successful did Taylor Swift have?
Just look at her song catalog. It's like at least 10.
And how easy would it have been for Taylor Swift to just say, I'm just going to give up on finding my person?
Yeah, she easily could have done it. She could have given up.
But, much like myself, and we all know Lee's disastrous dating life. We've discussed it many times on this show. But... you know, she basically said, you know, look, one day I'm going to find my person and I'm going to find the person who looks at me and says, that's my person. And you, Lucas, I know you're not a big love person.
No.
You're not a hopeless romantic, unlike myself. But I can tell you, there is no better feeling on the planet. And I felt it once. I experienced it once. There's no better feeling on the planet when somebody looks at you and says, you are enough. You are my person. You are more than enough for me. And it is the greatest feeling on the planet.
It happened to me 3 times. 2010, 2012, and 2014. When the Giants won the
World Series. Oh, my God.
But on a serious note, Travis Kelce's line to get Taylor Swift is legendary. It's the best line in the history of lines. And nobody else except, I guess, 22 other people could have used that line. And he said, you rocked Arrowhead last week. Come watch me rock Arrowhead this week. And he gave her tickets to the game. And then after that, she fell in love.
There you go. There
so,
you
like,
go.
I mean, him, Patrick Mahomes, and a few other receivers.
Maybe some linebackers. Yeah. But no, I mean, I think...
Great line, right?
I think it's great because far too many people, after one or two bad relationships, like, that's it. They just shut it down.
Yeah.
They just shut it down, and they don't open themselves up to the possibility that they will find their person or they will find someone that is their person. And look, you know, at the end of the day, I think, look, I would love to have that feeling again. I would love to be able to have someone look at me and say, you're my person. And look, there's been a time post my divorce where I found someone and I wanted to say, you're my person. You're great. You're enough. And unfortunately, you know, not mutual. And that's okay. That doesn't mean I'm just going to pack it in and say, no, thanks. I just, you know, I would hope that one day there is someone out there who, you know, looks at me and I'm ever the optimist and says, you're my person. You're enough for me. And I think it's great. I think it's fantastic that Taylor Swift, who easily could have just packed it in, easily. She's the world's most famous pop star. She didn't need to go through it all. And not only did she find her person, but it wasn't like, ooh, hey, I'm infatuated with you. Let's go get married a week later. I mean, they've been dating for 2 years. This has been, you know, just almost like aside from the private jets, and NFL games, a very regular relationship. They dated, they got to know each other. And at the end of the day, he said, you know, do you want to be in my life for the rest of my life? I think it should be celebrated. I think we should all be very, very happy for Taylor and Travis.
And it gives hope to Cowboy fans that one day maybe they'll get a championship.
It does. It gives hope. It gives hope to Cowboy fans and Raider fans.
Had
to get that in there. Speaking of finding your forever and being happily ever after, there was a stat that came out on the gram.
Mm-hmm.
Second marriages, 70% of second marriages are happier and more successful than the first.
Yeah, because most people get married too young, or they date for a short period of time and they get married and they find out, well, this isn't what I signed up for, and then they leave. And then the second marriage, obviously, because you learn from the first one, you learn what should be done and what shouldn't be done. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
You are correct on the what should be done and what shouldn't be done. Look, obviously, did not get married early. I got married late.
How long did you date before you got married?
We dated for a year, got engaged.
And how long was the engagement?
A year.
So 2 years, basically.
2 years. Yeah, 2 years. But I think they're more successful because, like you just said, you go through that first marriage and you learn, I guess you could say, how to be a husband.
Yeah, it's like trial and error. You make mistakes and you realize what flies and what doesn't.
Not only that, I think, and I'm just speaking on my end, being married made me a completely different person. Well, helped make me a different person. There was also that little thing called liver transplant.
Yeah, that definitely.
But look, before I got married, before I even was in a relationship with her, I was a selfish son of a bitch. I mean, everything was all about, the world revolved around Lee. It was all Lee all the time. And I did what made me happy and only took my concerns into account. And, you know, you get married, and especially in my case, I got married to a single mother. So you got to take not only her feelings into account and her wants and needs, but also the wants and needs of an innocent child who's looking to you as a role model.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things that happened in my marriage is that her son was able to look at me as a role model. Yeah. And I was able to kind of, you know, be
mentor,
a role model.
Yeah.
And, you know, our relationship wasn't perfect, but I would like to think he would look at the way her and I interacted and was like, that's how two adults in a relationship should interact.
Yeah.
They, you know, we would kiss each other in front of them and hold hands and all that and show affection and say, this is how actual adults who are in love with each other and want to be with each other, this is how they operate. Because he was, you know, not to get too far into it, but with her baby daddy, that wasn't exactly the situation. And I think it made me a better person, made me a person that realizes everything's not about me.
Yeah.
And that only my concerns shouldn't be taken into account. And I think, look, if I do, hopefully, you know, at the end of the day, I hopefully do get married again. I think I was a halfway decent husband. Even my ex-wife, you know, said that, hey, I did everything I could to try and make her happy. You know, even she admitted I was, other than loading the dishwasher, which I apparently did wrong every single time, I was an okay hubby.
Yeah, well, you know, and the thing is that you shouldn't stay single too long. Because if you stay single too long, it becomes addicting.
You get back into that cycle of it's just about me, it's selfish, and the world revolves around me.
Because it is fun to do whatever you want whenever you want to do it. So that becomes habit. And then when you get into a relationship, you get kind of annoyed when you have to do things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
So it's good to be single for a little while, but not too long.
Speaking of people who will be single for the rest of their lives.
Single for the rest of my life. It's a great song.
You know, I oftentimes spend way too much time scrolling through the gram when I'm bored. And I was doing it yesterday. And I came across two of probably the biggest idiots I may have seen.
And they both were British.
They both were British. Nothing against the British. British are very lovely people.
Not these two.
Not these two. Not these two. So, I guess they were on a podcast. It looked like it was a
podcast. Yeah, I don't know if it was a team show or if it was...
Yeah. So, and one female was complaining that she broke up with her boyfriend. Blocked him. Not just broke with him, blocked him.
Broke up and blocked.
Blocked him. Went on vacation. Did Lord knows what on vacation. I mean, if you just break up with someone and you go on vacation, I'm going to go on a limb and say there's going to be... A little
shots of alcohol, body shots,
sexual action involved.
Comes
back, and she is shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that the boyfriend that she dumped and blocked is not at the airport waiting for her, trying to fight and win her back.
Yeah, and this is the entitlement that some people get because they get attention on Instagram. I will tell you that. Guys go on Instagram and jump into your DMs, not because they want to marry you, but because they want to have sex with you. And that gives some people a false sense of importance. And she would believe that, well, why would he not come and beg for me? I am the prize. I am the best thing on the planet. I'm the best thing for him.
You know, a very good friend of mine, Steve Reed.
That name, Steve Reed.
Steve Reed. Put it best. When people show you who they are the first time, believe them.
Yeah, 100%.
Look, especially at our age, you don't play that shit.
No.
You don't play that, oh, well, they're just playing hard to get, or I need to go. And look, I'm guilty of it. I am 100% guilty of it. I am 100% guilty of chasing after women where I gave them all the attention. I made them a priority. I was attentive. Every time they texted, I responded back right away, hoping at the end of the day they would see, wow, this guy is really into me and so on and so forth. I need to be with him. And it doesn't happen.
No, one thing that men, where men are dumber than women, is men are driven by sex, but women protect their sex. They don't have sex with just anybody. But women are driven by attention. They're not driven by sex. They're driven by attention. And men do not protect their attention. They give their attention to everybody. And therefore, your attention becomes not valuable. But if you only give attention to people that are worthy of your attention and you protect it like women protect their sex, you become more of the prize.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm driven by sex.
I think most men want to have sex.
Oh, I definitely want to have sex.
Then you're driven by sex. Most men have sex. Sex is definitely something.
Well,
it's
not the primary driver.
But
it's not the primary. It's an important driver.
But yeah, it's a very important.
And if I'm dating someone,
it means more to you than it means to her.
If I'm dating someone and it is very, it's serious, I make it very clear because of, and I'm not going to get into it too far, but because of my past marriage, that sex is important, and sex is something that needs to be important.
Exactly. And that's why you should protect your attention, because women love attention.
But I think the thing here is if the attention isn't being reciprocated,
You should stop. 100%.
And in this case,
protect your attention.
In this case, here's someone who dumped her boyfriend, blocked him, made it very clear, I want nothing to do with you. I'm going to go on vacay. And she comes back. Oh my God. Well, he's not here waiting for me. He's not here begging for me. And too often guys do that. I'm guilty of doing that. And where they're not being paid attention, they just think if they pay enough attention to this person, if they try hard enough, that this person will see the error of their ways. And, oh, well, this person must love me so much. No, we're adults. If you want to be with someone and that person wants to be with you, there shouldn't be any game playing. This woman here, and the other thing that caught is she said, I had to compromise. That's what a relationship is.
Yeah.
That's what a marriage is. And if you don't want to compromise, that's fine. That is fine. If you do not want to compromise,
Leave the relationship.
Just say, hey, I'm in a place in life right now where I don't want to compromise. I don't. These are the things I do not want to compromise on. And if you're not okay with that, it's been great. It's been real. It's been fun. It's been really fun. But not this game playing, well, I'm going to break up with you and I'm going to go away on vacation, do whatever, and I'm going to come back. And if you really love me, you'll be there waiting for me.
But she would have been mad if he was waiting there. She would have called him a crazy man.
Oh, yeah.
She would have been like, you're really out of your mind.
100%.
He couldn't win.
And that's what infuriated me most. Is this woman was playing games.
But she didn't like him.
And he didn't want to play that game. And she's mad that he wasn't playing.
He did the right thing.
Well, boo frickin' who? Yeah. And my fear is that far too many women see that, and kind of see that as an example of what to do. And then at the end of the day, they wonder why their relationships don't work or why they're single. Because more and more, and on both sides, look, there's guys that do the same thing. There are guys that'll be dating someone and they'll go around and hook up with whoever and expect their girlfriend or whoever they were seeing to come back to them because if you really love me, you would be okay with that and we'd work through it and get over. No, if you're a man and you are dating seriously, exclusively dating someone and you go dip your pen in some other company's ink, that woman should say, see you later. There's no working through it. There's no, I really love you, so I'm going to forget. No. Because that shows a lack of respect on the guy's part.
Yeah. And
shows a lack of respect on the guy's part.
Most women will leave the guy if they do that, too. It's not a good thing for men to do.
You know what? That got me fired up, so we need to talk about something that's going to make me happy.
And what's that?
It was the first full weekend of college football!
Lots of crazy games, lots of upsets. Alabama lost their... first game of the season, first time since 2003
or boo-hoo.
2003 or 2004.
Boo-hoo.
It's like 21, 22 years ago.
Roll downhill, Tide.
Yeah, that was a big loss. How about Cal? Cal beating Oregon State.
I say Cal did. Cal got the dub.
Stanford sucks.
Stanford always sucks. I mean, come on. They lost to Hawaii.
Yeah, last time they were a good Christian.
They lost to a guy who learned how to kick field goals from YouTube.
Yeah.
That's Stanford University right there. Go build a semiconductor. My beloved Gators got off 51, something like that. 51-0. DJ Lagway, shook off the rust, put on some great numbers. Jaden Baugh, their running back, looking like a Heisman contender.
Yeah.
I love it. And of course, as we discussed earlier, yours truly will be in the swamp on Saturday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what that also means.
What's that?
I get to visit my beloved Opus Coffee once
again. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Greatest coffee.
Saturday morning before the game, right?
It's a 4 o'clock kickoff.
Oh, okay. So it's a later kickoff.
So I'll be leaving, my time chair is in Orlando.
One o'clock here.
I'll be leaving around noon, driving up, getting my Opus Coffee, and taking the game in.
There you go. It's going to be a wild day.
The Convicts beat the Catholics.
But yesterday. The weather was a big issue. That definitely hurt Notre Dame. And Notre Dame is famous for losing. Notre Dame always plays the Sunday before Labor Day. They play that, and they're famous for losing that game. They lost to Texas a couple years ago.
Yeah,
so it wasn't really a shocker. But I know whenever that happens, everybody says the sky's falling with Notre Dame, and then they win 10 unanswered.
And they make the college football playoff. Also, the guy who probably might have had one of the worst opening college weekend football weekends, Nico Emelavea, former quarterback for the University of Tennessee, who tried to call their bluff on NIL money, and they called his bluff, and he had to leave. Went to go play for UCLA and got rocked.
Well,
got rocked.
UCLA is not a powerhouse.
No.
It's not a power. It's like Stanford. It's like it's no. you're just.
And not only that, University of Tennessee picks up the quarterback from Appalachian State. And it's like they didn't miss a beat.
No, because it's good coaching. It's like UCLA is a joke.
So great first weekend. Ends today. Bill Belichick makes his college football coaching debut.
How do you think it's going to go for him? Not good.
If it's anything like his girly friend, it's going to be a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
That guy. But you know what that means? That means next weekend is
NFL. Well, this week, it's Thursday. Thursday.
Thursday
is the kickoff.
Thursday, Friday, they play in Brazil.
Yeah, it's a weird thing if they do Thursday and Friday now.
They are playing in Brazil. And for the record, just for the record, and everyone's like, they speak Portuguese, bro. No, they don't. No, they don't. They speak white trash Portuguese in Brazil. I speak Portuguese. I speak proper Portuguese. Thank you very much. That stuff they speak in Brazil, I catch maybe every third or fourth word. Okay. Maybe.
It's a different culture. It's a much different culture.
Said different everything. Yeah. So you know, Niners play Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a win for the 49ers.
So. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for a big Niner dub. You know who I feel sorry for? This first, basically when the NFL season starts, you know who I really feel sorry for?
The Cowboy fans?
No. I feel sorry for Fit Lurie.
Oh, because of the Raiders?
Yeah.
The Raiders are actually going to be a decent team, though. They're going to be better than
it's the Raiders. They're going to find a way to choke.
This is a different Raiders. I don't like the Raiders at all, but it is a different team. You have Tom Brady, who's in ownership now.
Yeah, he ain't quarterback.
No.
He's not the quarterback.
But you do have Pete Carroll there. And, you know, Pete Carroll is a winner. You know, Pacific alum.
Pete Carroll is lucky that he had Reggie Bush, Matt Leiner, Russell Wilson, and Marshawn Lynch. Those four made Pete Carroll look good.
You don't think Geno Smith will?
No. So, yeah, unfortunately, Fit Lurie is about to be in for a very sad NFL season.
I think the Raiders get 8 to 9 wins this year. I think 8 to 9 wins.
Raiders are lucky if they get 6. Ooh. However, our beloved 49ers will once again make a Super Bowl run.
Well, the Niners will get 10 to 11 wins with probably a first or second round exit in the playoffs. Because
come on!
Yeah, their roster is not great.
I think they're going to surprise people.
Well, like I said, 10 to 11 wins and then knocked out in the first or second round.
I think, if you look
at football as a realist. Baseball, I'm not a realist. Football, I'm a realist.
Speaking of baseball, I know you're a little excited.
Yes, I am. We're right there in the mix. See, again. Realist in football, not with baseball. We're catching the Mets. We're going to catch the Mets.
So the Giants have been on a little bit of a hot streak.
Very hot.
Very hot.
5-1 homestand.
There you go.
With three game sweep over the Cubbies.
And they have the worst team in baseball coming up.
Yeah, they have the Rockies coming up. I'm going to do what's his name? Dean from Vermont. We're going to catch the Mets. Then we're going to beat the Dodgers. And then we're going to beat the Brewers and win the World Series. Yeah!
You realize what happened to Howard Dean after he did that.
Yeah, he was done.
So you basically just jinxed the Giants, Lucas. Congratulations. But, you know, look, I hope they do. I hope they go on a run because I belong to a season ticket group.
Yeah.
And
playoffs. You get to playoffs.
My final game of the package is on the 24th with the Cardinals in town.
Who is fighting for the wild card
spot? And it would be
spot.
Great if it was like a pennant wild card atmosphere.
Well,
playoff chase, because then the ballpark is going to be electric.
Well, I'll tell you, I was there Friday and I was there yesterday. I fortunately wasn't there for the thrashing on Saturday. But Friday and yesterday, it was the park was alive because the park had been dead. But the park was alive. Everybody's excited. Crowd was loving it. So, I mean,
it's, so everyone cross your fingers that Lucas did not just jinx the Giants.
There's no such thing as a jinx, by the way. Everybody knows that. If I have that much power.
It's called karma. It's called karma.
There's no such thing as any of that stuff. If you make your own karma.
It's called karma.
You make your own karma. You make your own karma.
It's called karma.
Well, it is because you allow it. You literally create your own destiny.
Speaking of people creating their own destiny, it's time for the worst week ever.
Eesh.
So there were a couple contenders, and then we'll come up with the guy who actually had the worst week ever. Contender number one, Arch Manning.
Yeah, it's a rough first game.
Came in, Mr. Heisman.
But he will recover. He's going to come.
My uncles are Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
But let's look at Peyton Manning's freshman year.
Yeah,
let's look at his freshman year. You know, Todd Helton of the Rockies was the starter for Tennessee and then got injured, and that's why Peyton Manning got a shot. So, you know, Peyton Manning wasn't first in the depth chart when he started at the University of Tennessee. Todd Helton was. Football was his second sport.
So Arch Manning had a rough yeah. Saturday. Rough Saturday. Didn't live up to the hype. Everyone's bagging on him. Bad week. Yeah. Contender number two. Some jackass CEO from Poland who at the U.S. Open tennis tournament stole a hat that was supposed to be given to a little kid. Stuffed it in his wife's purse. They took off. And instead of, oh, hey, my bad, heat of the moment, blah, 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 what does he do? He comes out and says, yeah, I did it. Life's rough. The kid should have been quicker.
Yeah.
What a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
What an absolute asshole.
A prick. The only person worse is the person that stole your 415 t-shirt at the San Francisco.
Yes! Yeah! That's
the only person worse.
That person's worse. But those two lost out. So apparently, Lucas, Korn, the heavy metal?
They're, I would say, thrash kind of metal. They're loud. And Korn is from Bakersfield, California.
Bakersfield.
They're the only winner out of Bakersfield because they've had a great career. But I've never listened to a Korn song and thought, I want to have sex or masturbate.
The only thing I know about Korn is that the K in their name is backwards.
Yes.
So, there's a gentleman who's caught on camera doing the five-knuckle shuffle
at a Korn show. At a Korn show.
Korn, K-O-R-N, thrasher metal band, Korn show.
Now, if you were me watching Sheila E. in 1985 open for Prince, I would never do it. But I would understand if somebody started masturbating to a Sheila E. 1984 show.
First of all, I would like to take note that I hope this is the first and only time this podcast ever uses the word masturbating.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like a Dr. Ruth episode right now.
It is a Dr. Ruth episode. It's like when we talked about the green dildos being thrown on in WNBA
But people
courts.
Keep messing up. People keep messing up. So... I could understand it, excuse it, and say, dumb move, but Sheila E. is very sexy in 1985. Korn, I don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, and this dude kind of looked like, he was like, from what I could see, it's on Instagram or Twitter, I have one of those two. He was short, fat, and bald.
Yeah, what would you expect?
At a Korn show. Yeah. So everyone, Mr. Five Knuckle Shuffle, you indeed, at a Korn show, you indeed did have the worst week ever.
What's the penalty for doing that? Do you go to jail or?
You have to listen to another Korn show.
Yeah.
Everyone, have a fantastic Labor Day. Have a great week.
Peace.